Good morning, Senator Tepler, Representative Hepler, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. I'm Morgan Riley, and I represent House District 127, which includes part of Westbrook. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce LD 1595, an act of strength in working waterfronts against nuisance complaints regarding aquaculture. This bill is straightforward. It just provides the same protections that commercial fishermen have under statute regarding nuisance complaints and extends it to aquaculture. It also makes sense that working out in the water and stuff, that aquaculture should have the same protection statute as commercial fishermen. And moreover, the bill also addresses a loophole, commercial fishermen who also work in aquaculture, by ensuring that they have the same protections when fishing and sea farming. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. Happy to answer any questions or provide any further information for the work session.
Questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Simmons.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Grill me.
What kind of changes are you looking for? Just what's in statute and just add aquaculture?
Yeah, just adding aquaculture to it. And then they added cages right there. So traps, cages.
Yeah, if you look at the bill, which is in your packet.
Yeah.
Missed it.
And the committee might note we also have some testimony that was put online. Yeah. Yes, Rep. Strout.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for presenting your bill. So will this still put everything under the lease agreements? It won't change anything with adding new dock? It won't do any of that?
No, this doesn't. Yeah, this is not dealing with the lease and stuff.
What is the nuisance of aquaculture? Like, what are those complaints? I don't know. I don't know what that would be outside of the agreement.
So, I mean, the department can provide, I think, maybe some more history when it comes to when it was enacted with the commercial fishermen stuff. I mean, like, how to deal with, like, people, like, complaining about, like smell or, like, noise, like, on the water and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions? Yes, Rep. Thorne.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, Representative Riley, and introducing this. Was this as a result of a constituent coming to you or within, what was the?
Well, in the district I represent, we don't have that much working waterfront.
Okay. Conversation.
But
with
no, this is something that, like, I mean, I've heard from, I mean, the different farms that I've worked for over the years and just conversations and stuff, that I think it's more like also just like a symbolic thing of seeing they want to just be, if they're working on the water, to be have the same nuisance protection as commercial fishermen, and want to be inclusive with that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions for Rep. Riley? Seeing none, thanks for bringing us your bills. Okay, the department, if you're willing to testify here on LD 1595. Yeah,
sometimes. Good morning, Senator Tepler, members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. My name is Deirdre Gilbert. I'm the Director of State Marine Policy for DMR. I am testifying on behalf of the department in support of LD 1595. Existing law prohibits a private nuisance action from being brought against a person engaged in a commercial fishing activity or commercial fishing operation, so long as that activity or operation is undertaken in compliance with applicable licensing and permitting requirements and other applicable statutes, rules, and ordinances. LD 1595 would amend the section of law to reference the definition of commercial fishing that is already in Title 12, Section 6001, which is as follows. I won't read it, but really the point of providing that definition is just to make clear that commercial fishing does include aquaculture and aquaculturists. So in doing so, the activities associated with aquaculture would also be included in the activities that are protected against private nuisance actions. And just to be clear, there is an existing exception to the definition of commercial fishing activities or operations in that section of law that excludes activities and conditions associated with licensed finfish aquaculture. So that is, those activities are not currently protected from nuisance claims under the current law or the proposed amendment. In Maine, private nuisance actions are governed by the state's tort law with specific rules and remedies outlined in the law. If a person's use or enjoyment of their private property is harmed by the actions of another, they can file a civil action for damages or seek an injunction. The law protecting commercial fishing activities from nuisance claims has been in effect for nearly 25 years. With that law, Maine enacted a policy that the common sights, smells, and sounds of commercial fishing are not grounds for a private landowner to complain about their enjoyment of their private property. As Maine's working waterfront has diversified to include aquaculture, the department supports its equitable treatment with other forms of commercial fishing. Thank you for your consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Director Gilbert. And Representative Simmons has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask the million-dollar question.
Okay.
Are you fine with this language?
Oh, gosh. let me look at it again with that in mind. Yeah, I can't think of any other thoughts that have occurred to me in looking at the drafting.
Good enough.
I have a question as well. The issue of finfish, could you talk about why finfish are accepted from this rule and what, I mean, we've lost a number of finfish farming opportunities recently. And so I have some concerns that, shall we say, NIMBYism is affecting the ability of the development of finfish farms and recognizing that there are problems still with finfish farm feed. But nonetheless, I mean, we need to find some ways to feed ourselves as time goes on and climate change increases.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Tepler. I would have to look at the legislative history there. I just was aware that that had been an exemption from when this law, this, you know, prohibition on nuisance claims was passed over 20 years ago. I imagine, and others in the room might have a better recollection of the exact conversation, but I imagine that there just might have been a concern that of the activities that were going on at that time, finfish farming was a more intensive activity, so there might not have been a level of comfort with exempting it from these nuisance claims, again, which are basically about someone's ability to enjoy their private property, that if somebody felt there was an issue with a finfish farm, that wasn't particularly, that wasn't protected in the same way. But I don't know that there's a clear rationale for that.
And one more follow-up, is eel farming included in this?
So the existing eel farm in the state is a land-based facility. I don't think there's any reason why it wouldn't be included in this definition as I look at it. It's a land-based aquaculture facility. It's aquaculture.
Okay. Yes, Rep. Thorne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at your testimony that describes enacted a policy that the common sights, smells, and sounds of commercial fishing, and that would apply also to aquaculture. That seems very simplified. Do you ever get complaints beyond smell, sight, and sound that would constitute nuisance or...
Certainly. So the department gets complaints about activities that may be occurring on aquaculture lease sites. Those wouldn't necessarily be limited to those types of complaints. However, my understanding, which is, you know, a layperson's understanding of the nature of a private nuisance claim, is that it is available to landowners when they feel that their enjoyment of their private property has been impacted by someone else's activity. And that is generally of that type of nature, like if there something smells, something is too loud, you know, it's those kind of impacts that are interrupting your enjoyment of your property that you're seeking to have addressed. Mm-hmm. And so Maine has basically said, if that's happening because of commercial fishing, you don't have a basis for that claim if that person is operating What's cause of action?
No cause of action.
So those are the types, that is the nature of the issue that this is meant to preclude from being addressed.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Rep. Farron.
I have same kind of questions on the same line, but what I was wondering is, does it ever get to the point of nuisances or anything on a 24-hour basis or any time of night? What's considered normal hours or anything? Because I've always had, growing up on the coast, people always complain. I'm in real estate, I'd sell something to somebody and they'd say, I can't believe they're starting their diesel engines at 4:30 in the morning. Why do they do? I says, because they're going fishing. And trying to explain that to people that they need to get going at 4:30 in the morning has been a, but is there other, I just wonder around hours, has any been able to say, hey, you can't do this at midnight or 10 o'clock at night, you're out there harvesting. Why? Geez, let me, I don't know. I'm just wondering if the hours ever come into.
Yeah. So when it comes to watercraft, like IF&W has the sole authority to regulate the operation of watercraft. So I know a municipality couldn't put in an ordinance that said you can't start your boat before 5 a.m. or something like that. There has been a lot of work done, again, statutorily around the hours that airboats can be used in order to control the impacts from that noise. But I think the nature of this proposal is to say, as long as the person is doing the activity in compliance with any laws, rules, or ordinances, that's when they are protected. Like, as long as they're not violating, like, an existing. Yeah, exactly.
Is there a decibel limit on airboats?
There is, yes.
Yeah. There is. Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember.
Yes.
Yes, Rep. Simmons.
Yeah, there is, but it was a good compromise. It wasn't super great, but from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., you can only go at the state level at 75 decimals. From 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you're allowed to go to 90 decimals, and there's no decimals issue when it comes to if you have having to move or take off to get off the mud.
Gotcha.
So
other questions from the committee regarding this nuisance bill? Nope. Thank you. Okay, do we have anyone in the room who would like to testify in favor of this bill?
Good morning, Senator Tepler and Representative Hepler. My name is
Good
Sebastian
morning.
Bell. We're passing out two pieces of information for you. The first, which is blue, is an infographic that represents the results of our latest public opinion survey. It was a statewide public opinion survey conducted by Critical Insights. They conduct statewide public opinions. And I give this to you just because I want you to understand how broad support for aquaculture is in the general public. This is something that we've been doing every 4 years, 5 years, over the last 10 years. And it's really been very solid. It has not moved, even though we have had a very well-funded, very well-organized professional opposition group out there that has been trying to oppose aquaculture at a community level basis. So this is the latest results, and I'm glad to give you additional copies or answer any questions about that if you would like to do that. I also want to point your attention to the testimony by Dan Ackles, Representative Ackles. He's supporting the bill, and he maps out a few examples and reasons why he was a co-sponsor to the bill. I want to thank him for doing that. And I also want to thank Representative Riley for his tireless support of working waterfronts and aquaculture in the state of Maine. He deserves a great deal of credit for it. He does it sometimes at his own political risk, and I acknowledge that and really appreciate the work that he does. So my name is Sebastian Bell. I'm the Executive Director of the Maine Aquaculture Association, and I stand before you today to testify in strong support of LD 1595, an act to strengthen working waterfronts against nuisance complaints regarding aquaculture. Although I come before this committee often, and you know who I represent, I want to start by sharing a few things about me that you may not know. In the 70s, I fished offshore, witnessing firsthand the Russian and Polish wolf packs mowing the lawn and destroying our groundfish resources. I am a founding member of the Working Waterfront Coalition, the first of its kind in the country, and I have sat on the board of directors for the Maine Aquaculture Innovation Center and Maine Fishermen's Forum for over 20 years. I am a trustee of the Island Institute and a member of the Agricultural Council of Maine and the Board of Agriculture at the University of Maine. And I sat for 18 years on the standard oversight committees for two of the large seafood certification programs and have been appointed to two federal advisory committees. In addition, I was a member of the EPA Aquaculture Effluence Task Force and the National Organic Standards Board Aquaculture Task Force. I spent a brief period as a policy analyst for DMR. I only lasted 3 years. I wasn't patient enough, and I commend our public servants for their patience. And for 5 years, I worked to develop conservation methods for bluefin tuna at the New England Aquarium. And yes, for a number of years, I was one of those evil fish farmers. And I'm sure you may hear about that more today. I have farmed salmon, halibut, sea bass, tuna, scallops, and oysters, and worked my entire career to develop ways to make a living on the water and protect the aquatic ecosystems that we as aquaculturalists and commercial fishermen depend so much on. I tell you all this so that you understand that working waterfronts and marine conservation have been a part of my life since I was a kid. For those of you who know me as an advocate for working waterfronts and aquaculture, you have most often seen me fighting to defend our sector against legislation designed to make it more and more difficult to conduct aquaculture. Often that legislation is backed by wealthy landowners who don't want to hear, see, or smell commercial working waterfronts by their houses on the beautiful Maine coast. Other times that legislation may have been backed by extremist environmental groups whose very business model is based on polarizing issues and prolonging debate so that they can fundraise around the controversy that they themselves have often created. During this legislative session, you may have noticed a change in how we as an organization engage. Instead of just being on a defensive mode, we have started to support legislation designed to solve problems for our members that they encounter and are frustrated by. That change in posture comes directly from our members who are frankly fed up with being treated as second-class citizens. Aquaculture is no longer willing to be treated like the redheaded stepchild of Maine's working waterfronts. We are a legitimate and growing part of Maine's coastal communities, and we deserve to be treated fairly and equally with our fellow working waterfront citizens. LD 1595 is about fairness and equity. It is not about avoiding responsibilities or establishing loopholes, as you may hear, for those who oppose this bill. If a farmer breaks the law, LD 1595 will not shield them. If a farmer violates the Clean Water Act, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, the Migratory Bird Act, the Endangered Species Act, or any of the 23 other state or federal acts that apply to aquaculture, LD 1595 will not protect them. Finally, LD 1595 will not prevent any citizen of the United States of America from filing a citizen's lawsuit under those acts that allow for those actions. All that LD 1595 does is give aquaculturalists similar protections against frivolous nuisance lawsuits as commercial fishermen and land farmers. Think about the dairy farmer who spreads manure on his fields in the winter and has a neighbor who complains about the smell. They are shielded from nuisance lawsuits under Maine law. Why shouldn't an oyster packing house have the same protection as Luke's Lobster or Cozy Harbor Seafood? Why shouldn't a salmon farmer who takes their nets ashore to dry them out and clean and repair them have the same protection that a lobsterman who stacks his pots onshore at the end of the season has from a neighbor who doesn't like how the gear smells as it dries out? Why shouldn't a mussel farmer who brings their dropper lines ashore to clean and repair them have the same protection that a dragerman has when they bring their nets ashore to repair and re-rig them. That is all that LD 1595 asks for, and it is about equity and fairness. We ask that you vote ought to pass, and I thank you for your attentions and patience with my rather long testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Questions from the committee for Mr. Bell? I have one for you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just heard Rep. Thorne indicate he has one as well.
I thought I was going to get away without Representative Thorne.
I sat on my hands for the longest time, but I am curious, obviously, to the extent that this bill would cover aquaculture, what aquaculture has been experiencing up to this point without this.
So we're seeing more and more kind of rumblings around lawsuits and nuisance lawsuits. And I'll give you one example. We have a working waterfront, an oyster farmer in McCoit Bay. They wanted to put a dock in, and they are that dock is being opposed under the system, which is perfectly appropriate. You know, if the neighbors don't like it, they have the right to object to that dock. But some of the things that are being talked about are noise or smell or, you know, gear that's stored on the dock. And so although that particular instance is not, I think, a nuisance lawsuit, it's using the same kinds of justifications, if you will. And we expect that we'll see more and more of those kinds of things up and down the coast, because we are becoming more prevalent in communities. We have more farms in many communities that haven't had farms in them for a long time. And so we expected that would probably be an increasing problem. And we're trying to kind of get ahead of that and be proactive about protecting ourselves.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sure. And my question for you, Mr. Bell, is in regard to the finfish exemption. I'd like to hear more about that from you, about how you feel about that, and whether you have any suggestions for this committee regarding that issue.
Thank you for asking that question. And to Deirdre's point, I was around when that exemption was granted, and Deirdre, I think, very politely characterized it. It was a compromise that was agreed to, because if we hadn't exempted finfish, we probably would not have gotten that original proposal through the legislature. Finfish at the time was very controversial. It was very new, and people didn't know a lot about it. And so that was where that started. We would love to see that removed from the law. And I would leave that up to the committee to think about whether that's something to do or not. But I think it is a fair question to ask why it shouldn't be. I will, again, leave it up to the deliberations of the committee to think about that.
Thank you. And the other question with that is, do you see any difference between ocean-based and land-based finfish farming as far as this kind of issue is concerned?
So the complaints that might be lodged against a land-based operation, and understand that we have land-based operations in the state of Maine. The state of Maine owns land-based operations, all the finfish hatcheries that are used to grow trout to stock for recreational fishing are owned by the state. The federal government owns land-based operations, two relatively large ones in Maine, actually three relatively large ones. The University of Maine has land-based operations. The kinds of objections that might be raised there would probably be similar: noise, smell, sound, maybe hours of operation, as you alluded to, Representative Farron. We operate during normal working hours, but as with commercial fishing, if you gotta make the tides, or you gotta get up early, or avoid the weather, sometimes you're operating at night. And we do as marine resource users have rules on noise, visual impact, and what's the third one, Deirdre? What am I missing? Lights.
So
yeah, right. Yeah, lights. We are, in fact, the only marine resource user that has those limitations. So, but to answer your question, the impacts might be different depending on whether it's on land or whether it's in the ocean. But they're often very similar. And it really boils down to those three concerns of noise or visual impact or disturbance, if you will.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Yep.
Are there other questions from the committee? Yes, Rep. Simmons.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, when it comes to land-based aquaculture, they have to go through the town, not only just through DMR or the governmenting bodies, but as well as the planning board at the town level.
That's correct. Went through that as would any real estate
with the over with the eel right. farm. Yeah. She still had to come to the planning board to yep. get approval. So those issues could be addressed at the town level.
Yep.
At that.
No, that's correct, Representative. And it's the same as any you know, real estate development or what have you, any sort of land shoreside development. Yep.
So seeing no further questions, Mr. Bell, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else present in the room who would like to speak in favor of this bill?
Good morning, Senator Tepler, Representative Hepler, members of the Marine Resources Committee, Nick Batista with the Island Institute in Rockland, Maine. Just wanted to weigh in support of this and provide a little bit of information about how our working waterfronts are doing for the record. You all live in coastal communities or represent coastal communities, and you know that working waterfronts are being pressured on the water side by changing environmental conditions in the Gulf of Maine, changing regulatory conditions, and then they're also pressured on the land side by changing population and demographic trends. And so working waterfronts are getting squeezed in the middle, and the character of our communities is changing. And so Island Institute has long been helping to support fishermen in diversifying their economic base, and part of that includes diversifying into aquaculture, working waterfronts, and place to store gear and do all the things that you need to do as an aquaculturist are an important part of running a business. So we support this and happy to provide more detailed information on demographic trends in the coastal communities if the committee is interested.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, we appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify in favor of this bill? And seeing none, is there anyone online, Ms. Peckett? No. So with that, I will turn to any opposition to this bill. Okay, seeing no opposition, is there anyone who would like to testify neither for nor against this bill? Seeing none, I'm going to close the hearing on LD 1595, and we will work this next Thursday morning. Okay, and that's the end of our public hearings. And with that, we'll make a quick transition